Okay. Romans 1, let's pick up at verse 18, but again, there's a few things that I left out, but we're going to try to get down a few verses today. Romans 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Excuse me. Let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the time that we are prepared to spend in it. We pray that our hearts and minds are clear and open to receive it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And we pray as we learn how we ought to walk and to please you, that we would abound more and more. Again, we thank you for this time. We thank you for each member of your body represented here today. We pray that you would strengthen us according to our needs. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, again, excuse me for it's a challenge. If you can put up with it, we'll get through with it. I'm not feeling the best, but I'm okay. So
I can testify, whenever you say that, you give the best lessons from history.
Strike that from. So, we're getting to we're in Romans 1, and I want to say this before we get started is, well, when Paul is writing, he said the reason for him writing Romans was to establish those believers, and that is to establish them, is to stabilize them, to ground them, to root them, and that is what all believers need. That is in what God is doing with them. You know, scripture is, it's really history. We're reading history, past, present, and future. So it's like looking into God's crystal ball. You can see what happened in the past. You know what's happening right now. And you can see into the future, because this is what, when he writes this book, you have to look at it that this is something that he is doing, and he is letting us in on it, not only from a knowledge standpoint, but as having the opportunity to, as Paul said, to be a laborer together with him. Now, you think as we talked about ambassadors, that's a high privilege. You know, there's some companies that they wouldn't hire us, Mike. They don't want us to work with them. But here's God. He says, I'll take him. You know, just a sidetrack. When Paul wrote to Philemon and he told him about Onesimus, he said he was before to you unprofitable, but to now to me he's profitable, and to you too, because now he was not just a servant, but he was a believer. And you know what Onesimus means? Of course you don't. That's why I'll let you look that up on your own time. Now, it means profitable. Mm-hmm. So he's now, isn't that something? Where he went from although Philemon, I'm sure he didn't look at him as just a servant, but he says now more than a servant, but a brother. So you look at this, God uses us who are nobodies, useless to the average onlooker. But for God, he said that I have much value and much need, if you're willing and if you're available. But that's up to you. So when he's writing to establish him, that is part of it is getting them to see the great privilege and opportunity they have to work with God. And a lot of times it's so abstract where we've got God way off in heaven and doing so many other things, but he has a book that's telling you that he's very much involved in his creation. And part of that establishment is getting you to rethink, when I say you, the Romans and us, getting you to rethink the way God operates. So people, they'll have God punishing us for whatever, but he says, no, that's not the way I'm operating today. We have God giving out houses and cars and all kinds of material things. And he says, no, that's not it either. He says, so I'm writing to you to establish you, that is, to be mutually comforted in the faith. Verse 17 or 16, he says, for I am, and the faith is in the gospel where this establishment comes from. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that is a principle all throughout Scripture. If you want to be righteous, if you want to be accepted of God, and he says, I'm revealing that. If you would like to be just with God, that is to, if God has a checklist, and he did have a checklist, it's called the law. If you want to, we'll say that we're keeping the Ten Commandments. Most people would say, well, we're trying to do that because they know that it's God's standard of righteousness. They'll say, well, they know they can't do it, but they try to do it. And he says, do you want me to look at you as if you can keep that? What would you say? Of course you would say yes.
No, you can't.
No, listen to what I'm saying. If God says that my righteousness is in the Ten Commandments and you want to be righteous, but you know you can't do that, well, if God offered you a way to have this righteousness, would you take it?
Yes.
That's what he's saying. He says, in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. And you get it, he says, by faith. Mm-hmm. He said, because the just shall live by faith. So that is, and he says, for it is written. He said, from faith to faith. That is, well, God says, when I say it, you believe it. And I will count it to you for righteousness. I'll say that man is righteous. That man is just. That man, to me, Bob, that man is perfect. To God. See, naturally, the first thing you say is, whoa. Because you're thinking about you. God says that the just shall live by works. See, it makes sense now, doesn't it? He said the just lives by what? He lives by what I tell him. If I tell you you're just, then what are you?
Just.
If I tell you you're righteous, you're then what are you?
Righteous.
When I say I, if God tells you you're perfect, then what?
You're perfect.
Okay, now here comes another person that says, I don't think so. Does he override God?
No.
No, of course not. That's why he says, the just shall live by faith. Paul says in Romans, who art thou to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he shall be able to stand. He said, because God is able to make him stand. Now, so the gospel, in the gospel is revealed the righteousness of God. That is the righteousness of God without works. Now, that's what Paul says. I can't wait to get to you to tell you about this. Would that help you out if you understood how to be righteous without works?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, he says, so in the gospel, that's revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, before we go forward, I want to use an example where we talked about the just shall live by faith. Look at Deuteronomy 28. Let's see. Make that 30.
Not 29, 29.
30. 30. 30
what?
All right, we got verse 10. Yeah, we're going to pick up there. Now, this is where God is going. He's given Moses, as his servant, the law, right?
Yep.
Which is God's standard of righteousness for those people. Now, they're getting ready to go into the land. They're right there. And God says, when you go into the land, you have to do what I want done. That's the righteousness of God, right? So, verse 10, he says, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Now, here's they're going up there, right? They're going right there with Moses. And Moses, pretend you're a Jew. And we're all with Moses. And we're ready to go in. And he says, okay, we're getting ready to go into the land, Louise. And are you going to do what God wants to do? Are you going to do what God wants done? You're not going to say no. Are you? Oh, no, Moses, I'm not going to do that. If anything, you'll say, well, what does he want me to do? And he says, don't ask who shall ascend into heaven, right? Who shall go up and get the word? Or don't say who shall go down into the sea and bring it back to us or bring it down to us. He said the word, he said, it's nigh thee. Right? He said, it's nigh thee. It's near to you. He said, it's in your mouth and in your heart. Right? To do it. You know how it's in their mouth and in their heart to do it? Because he says, it's already written. When you read it, it's in your what? It's in your mouth, right? And you have an opportunity, if you believe it, it'll be what? In your heart.
Effectually working those that believe.
And so Moses is, even with the law, he's laying down a principle that we just read, the just live by faith. He said, you don't have to ask about God's will. He said, it's in your mouth when you read it. It's in your heart when you believe it. Now, last week we talked about the same thing about Johnny said this. It's easy. It was easy for Paul to say, what would you have me to do? Because he was looking at the Lord physically. He saw the Lord face to face. He saw him physically. He says, who wouldn't obey God if he showed up face to face?
And not only that, but go ahead, you're getting the real deal. You're not getting, he's been adulterated.
Straight from God. That's why he's saying, he says, don't ask the question. Okay, Romans 10. So what I'm showing you is the power of the gospel. That's why when Paul gets back to Romans and he's putting all this weight on the gospel, on the word of God. And then you want to understand that God has put his power in the gospel. So Romans 10.
What, 17?
Verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You know, they're very enthusiastic about God. They're very zealous, but they're very ignorant. He says they want to do it, but they don't know what they should do. They're lacking information. He says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, they are ignorant of what God wants. You know, we just said, would you like to be just with God? You said yes. Would you like to be righteous with God? You said yes. Would you like for God to say you're perfect? You said yes. Well, you have to hear what his requirement is, right? He said to the Jews, they want that, but they never listen to what God said, what it takes to get it. He said they are ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You said, what? He says, they are ignorant of God's requirement. So they went about to establish their own requirement. Now, if anything, you know that if you ask a man, what must I do to be saved? He can give you his requirement, or he can give you God's requirement. If he's ignorant, he's going to give you his requirement. If he's knowledgeable, he'll give you what? God's requirement. That's why Paul says, I would long to see you that I might establish you. Not to go about to establish my own righteousness or your own righteousness, but to establish you, he says, in God's righteousness, which is, he said, which is the gospel. Isn't that what he said in Romans 1? I long to see you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you might be established. That is, you might be established. That is, that I might be comforted together by the mutual faith both of you and me. So you don't have to ask Paul where did you get that from, Paul? Because he told you in chapter 1, Paul, an apostle, not... Well, I mean, not, he says, by the will of God. So I can tell you where I got mine from. I got it from God. God told me to tell you this. It'll establish you in his requirements.
So even if my grandmother taught me something different, she was that's, the one that was wrong.
We just talked about this yesterday about, you mean to tell me, did my grandmother wrong? That my grandmother, who was in church 40 years, you're telling me that my grandmother is wrong? Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. I'm telling you that God is right. Now, you can do that math. If God is right and your grandmother says something different than God, I didn't say that, right? Mike, I did not say that your grandmother was wrong. I said God was right. The scripture said, let God be true. So I'm going to stick with let God be true. Now, if you say what God says, we're good. If you don't say what God says, don't take it up with me. So he says, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. What do you mean he's the end of the law, Paul? Paul says he's the end of your works. He's the end of the work of your works for righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So, how many times you can ask a person, and this is a trick question, he says, well, what must I do to be saved? And he'll say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, what else?
Nothing.
And he'll give you something else. And you say, okay, what else? And he'll give you something else. And you say, what else? And he'll give you something else. And you say, what else? And he will keep thinking about something else until you tell him, stop it. I'm just saying that hypothetically. Our knee-jerk reaction is to put works on, because you don't have it in your, you don't have it settled. You're not established. You're not grounded, established in what God said. You're not walking by faith. He says, listen, no works. What is that? What does no works mean?
Faith plus nothing.
Thank you. No works. Faith.
And who?
That's, look, look. He said, and that's why. Faith. Excuse me. Faith to faith. That is what God said to you. Not to James, not to Moses. That's why Moses is saying, don't ask. Okay. He says, the Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For, and he's going to give you an example of what we just read. For Moses describeth the righteousness of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Right? He says, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. Moses, he just said that, didn't he? In a different way. He couldn't talk about the Lord because he hadn't died yet. But he could say, don't ask who should go up to heaven and get it. Or don't ask who should go into the deep to get it. Now, Paul, post-Christ, post-cross, that is, he says, don't ask who shall go up to heaven to bring Christ down again. Or, he said, don't ask who shall go into the grave to bring him up again. He says, here you are right here. Let's see what he says. He says, don't go up here for the revelation. And don't go down here for the revelation. He says this. Let me elaborate on that. He says, don't go down here for the revelation of righteousness. Because that's what he's talking about. How do I get righteousness? How do I get the righteousness of God? That's what he's talking about. Right? He says, don't go up to bring Christ down again, and don't go here to bring him up again. He says, well, how do we get it then? He says, but the righteousness of faith speaks on this wise. Say, not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? I like that, boy. He said, what saith it? What is it, Jenny? What saith it?
The righteousness which is of faith.
What saith it? What saith, right, that's what he's saying. What saith it? It's already written. What saith it? And he's quoting Moses. He said, what saith it? What did he say? He said, the word is nigh thee. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And then he goes on to quote a verse that we misquote all the time. He says, that is, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Sound like what Moses just said, didn't he? He said, with the heart you believe, right? And he said this, and with the mouth, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart man believeth unto what? What? Whose righteousness? Righteousness of God. How does he get it?
Belief.
With belief. Now, he says, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's not a work. He's saying this is the same thing Moses said. It's in thy mouth when you what? When you read it. Is confession is just this. It's I'm just doing this so you can better understand it. Can you see that word?
Is that an H or an A?
Homologia, that's what it means. You know what that means. Same. Logia is where we get logos from, but it's plural, it's words. So with the same words, a confession is this, is what God said about him, you say the same thing. You say the same thing. You speak the same word. What God said that he wants, you say the same thing. He says, I want you to believe. You say what? Say the same thing. He says, no works. You better say the same thing. He says, Christ is the end of the law. You say the same thing. You don't have to ask, how do I get this? He says, you don't have to go up to heaven. You don't have to bring him back again. The work is done.
So what you're saying, confession in that verse doesn't mean, okay, you believe, then you got to get up in front of everybody and say.
No, because.
It means something.
That's right.
These are the verses that they use.
Right.
Well, I mean, when I was younger, that's what I was taught.
Yeah. And see,
you got to confess.
Look, that's just the tip of the iceberg, because even in Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul is telling you what happened to the Jew in 9, and for him, it's real time in verse 10. When I say real time, he's talking about at the present time, here's how the Jew, the individual Jew, could be declared righteous. He says, look, you just say the same thing. What is that? God, Paul did it. What would thou have me to do, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I don't believe that.
He said,
I don't believe that.
Do.
He said, I don't believe that. Or if he had said, I don't believe that, guess what never would not have happened? If he said, if Paul said, after the Lord said, who art thou? He said, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. What if Paul said, I don't believe that? Guess what would not have happened?
He wouldn't have been the apostle of the Gentiles.
He would have never gotten saved. He would have never got the righteousness of God. Because he would have never said the same thing about Jesus that God said about his son. That is my son in whom I'm well pleased. So the Jew, he would have to say, you know what? We thought he was Joseph's son too. We were wrong. Many of them came. Nicodemus came. He says, good master, I know it's you. Nobody could do these things except God be with them. But he did it by night. A lot of those said, you know, this has to be him. But they would not confess him lest they be put out of the synagogue. They couldn't make that confession. They couldn't say, it's him. Because the minute they say it's him,
because they feared man.
They feared man more than God. When Jesus was speaking in John, Andrew said, we found him. Well, I found him. He says, I found him. I found the Messiah. And his brother says, how you know that? John chapter 1. Hold your hand there. Don't lose Romans. Again, I'm just saying this because you have to see the gravity of the gospel. When you put the weight in the gospel that God puts into the gospel, then you will see its effectiveness.
And we're too busy adding and subtracting.
And you'll stop doing that. And you'll stop. That's why he warns you, don't add anything to this. Don't take anything away from it.
Yep.
John chapter 1. Verse 35. And again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples, I'm going to let you fill that in. And the two disciples
heard him speak. And they followed
Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which being interpreted, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. But what I wanted was they heard him. They heard him speak. So they were. What do you think Jesus was speaking?
Signs or Old Testament.
He was opening the scriptures to them, even the Old Testament. Now, you say,
the volume of the book to do thy will. The volume is all of it.
Nah, watch this. He says, 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee. And findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, and of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Now, they heard him. And then with Philip, what he said this, he says, we heard him of whom Moses and the prophets talked about.
Did right.
Oh, say it again.
Scripture.
Okay, right. You know what they? I was on my thought. He said, the reason they were able to identify Jesus, it wasn't even by for them. He hadn't even done any miracles. It was they heard him, and they knew from the scripture what was written.
They were looking.
That was him.
They knew what to look for.
Did they find him?
Yes.
He said it. We found him. I wonder what they talked about, Jenny. He says, where you live? He said, come and see. And they sat down. Whatever that conversation was. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You were talking about seeing somebody. Can you imagine that here you are that night, you're listening to Jesus talk, and the meeting is breaking up, and he says, okay, that's it, folks. I'm done for the day. And you say, man, hey, where you live? And he said, come and see. Okay. And it said, you know what it says? And they abode with him that day. Y'all missed that kind of stuff. And he said, you know what, he go back, he said, man, guess what? Guess where I spent the night last night? With Jesus, man. I spent the night with Jesus last night. What y'all talk about? Can't tell you. Should have been there. Should have been there. As they say, Lucas, it was all that. So, but what I want is back to Romans.
10.
Not one.
We're working on
that. Yeah, we're going to get back to one, though. 10, yeah. 10 first, then back to one. And again, I'm just trying to emphasize the power of the gospel. When Paul says it's the power of God unto salvation, and he says in the gospel is revealed the righteousness of God, and then he's going to show you in the next verse that in the gospel is revealed the wrath of God. So back to 10, when he says the gospel, he says don't ask how to access the righteousness of God. He says, don't ask how do I get it, Mike? He said, don't ask me that. He says, you have it in your mouth and in your heart.
Which is why we should study for ourselves. We should listen, take it, but have to confirm it by the Word of God every time.
That's a right. That's an ear. How's that, Johnny? Look at ear. That's a heart. That's a mouth. That's okay, right?
Yeah.
So, he says, it's in your ear, it's in your mouth when you speak it, when you're writing the verses, when you're speaking the verses. It's in your heart when you believe it. Naturally, you're going to hear it when it's spoken, and then it goes for you to make that decision, whatever you decide. In Romans, where Lisa quoted that, in Romans, where it says, faith comes by hearing. And hearing, so this man speaks the word of God. You hear it, and you, or not. So all the weight is this. It goes from faith, which is what's written, to faith. That is whether you believe it or not. So, is that transaction is between you and God. The only thing that's necessary is for you to have what God said And then you exercise your faith in whether you will believe it or not.
Would that also include acknowledge?
That's what the belief is. That's why it says, here it is. You don't have to ask, how do I get it? I'm giving it to you. Where you can grasp it is, this is what he said. What do you say? This is the Messiah. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. This is the Messiah. How do you know? We heard him. We heard him. And we believe that's him. Faith. Faith. The faith. Paul says, I long to see you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, that you would be established. That is, that I might be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. He says, I have this to give to you. Now back to one. And part of the reason why we are so unsuccessful as believers is we have a problem with the faith. Like, what is God saying today? What is God saying today to me?
So if they mix up the scripture, it's not the faith.
This, Matthew. I know I said Romans 1, but Matthew. Matthew 23.
I was thinking as you were talking through all this about how the word repentance is redefined in most churches today, but it's simply a change of mind, which that was the failure of Israel.
Right. Yes.
And us.
Matthew 22. I said 23. Matthew 22.
22, okay.
Verse 23. Yeah, that's a lot of verses, but we're going to get the gist of it. The same day, 22:23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there's no resurrection. And ask him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Here's what I want. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, watch this carefully, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God? Have you not read that which was spoken to you by God? It's in your mouth when you read it, in your heart when you believe it. He says, have you not read that which was spoken to you by God? The question is still on the table. Have you not read that which was spoken to you of God. The reason why we are that we have confusion is you haven't read what was spoken to you of God.
Right.
Who? Paul, right, whatever. So you would, I never forget the lady, it was a lady who was, among other things that happened, she says, we're having a picnic, and you're invited. I said, what would you like me to bring? And so you can this, and that. And I said, what are you bringing? She says, I'm bringing, some fish. And I said, well, what about catfish? She says, oh, I don't eat catfish. I said, you don't eat catfish? She said, no. He said, Lord, does Lord tell you you don't eat catfish?
Don't call anything the Lord
said. I said, the Lord said don't eat catfish. And she said, yeah, you know, that's Leviticus 11. But she was right.
For that time.
But that's not what God had spoken to her about food. That's what. And so Paul would say, if you read what God has spoken to you about food, you would know that he says every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. It is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. It's God says you can eat anything you want to. Now, naturally, if you have problems, you don't want to eat things that don't kill you. So, you have choice. So, back to one. The importance is identifying the gospel, the power that's in the gospel. He says, in verse 1, he says, the just shall live by faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As written, the just shall live by faith. 18, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. He says, now, in how is the wrath of God revealed? The same way, in the gospel. It's revealed. When I say the gospel, God has to reveal it. And you say, well, wrath, that's not good news. Gospel means good news. But the wrath of God, that's not good news. But the good news is that he is providing a way for you to escape it. Okay, for example, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, Moses is, he's in the mount getting the Ten Commandments while they are down on the campground breaking the first commandment.
Just popped out of there.
So, but as they were going through the wilderness, and they get right to the, they get right to the border of the land. And he says, tell you what, I told you I was bringing you to a land, a good land, flowing with milk and honey. He says, go in and check it out. The gospel was, I'm bringing you out of Egypt to take you to this land. They already got out of Egypt. That's a pretty good start, isn't it? If I got out, how confident would I be that he can take me all the way in? If you're walking by faith. If you believe, listen.
You believe what he said.
He has not written one word yet. He has not written one word yet, but it's still his gospel. It's just revealed a different way.
They did have Job, though, didn't they?
So, they're going out. They don't have any books. There's no scripture.
Not even Job.
They don't have any scripture.
But they believe what Moses said.
Right. They were just walking through there. Listen, if Moses wrote the law, if his books were the first five books of their books, and Moses is in real time with you, the first thing he gets is the law. What do you get? Okay, that's so. Oh, I'm just saying. So they go through. He says, "Look, you go check it out to see if I'm true or not. To see if what I'm telling you is true." And they go in.
12 spies.
2 days. Not 2 days. 40 days. Y'all supposed to check me. They went in. 40 days they checked the land. 12 of them.
Yeah.
They come back.
Yeah.
They said, "What about it?" It's just what he said. Because he can't lie. It's just what God said. But. Here's a lesson for us. 10 of them came back and said, "Nope, we can't do it." 2 of them said, "Yes, we can." Lucas, what is the percentage? 2 out of 10. Okay. 80%. Here's a lesson for you students. 80% of the conversation you're going to have is going to be in unbelief. The people that don't believe scripture. You're going to be that 20% that says, "Yes, I'm responding in what God said to me is in faith." It does not change. It will not change. I would dare say it cannot change because God is not in a majority. It costs to walk by faith. If it didn't, everyone would do it. Because it's, you know what they said? We should have never left. If you know what they said, the what made them change their mind, Louise, is they saw the people in the land. They saw the giants. They come back with a grape like a basketball, Johnny. And they said, "Wow. You know how long we can eat off of that?" And they said, "That's not it. It's just the grapes." And they said, "Yeah, but there's people over there. And we're like grasshoppers to them." And the two says, "Wait a minute. If God delight in us going into the land, then we are well able to take it." He already told them, "That's where I want to take you." And so Caleb and Joshua says, "If I like that, said if God delights in us to have the land, it's ours." But the majority, they said, nope. So he made them wander around 40 years until they all died out. Because, you know what? The scripture said they fell under his wrath. You know, we think about wrath as this. We think of wrath as, it's just, you know what? It's his displeasure. Wrath is like a crock pot. Not a hibachi. You know, you get the hibachi and whoosh, it flames up and then it dies down. But the crock pot, it just simmers. It stays warm all the time. And God, so you know what God says? He says, 40 long years I put up with you. All right. He said 40 long years I put up with your fathers until they all died out. He said, I swear to them in my wrath that they would not go in. I swear unto them. That's just like good as me writing it down. He said, they will not go into that land. And he says, and they died off.
Didn't it also say that the two had a different spirit?
They had a different spirit, right, except them. I erased it. They believed. The principle is always there. So, when they get in the land, and they're faced with the same problem, whether they're going to believe God or not. And I didn't realize it. And God says this. He says, and we still, believe it or not, we're still talking about the gospel, because what God reveals, his will, it goes, if he never said anything to them, they could not be accountable.
Right. You can't hold someone accountable to a standard that you have not laid out.
They couldn't. God is not unjust where they wake up one day and all of a sudden he just poof, poof, poof. He's just killing them all. And I'm like, what? And he says, I told you. So they go into the land. He says, tell you what. Keep the Sabbath day. Keep the Sabbath day. 6 days go by, 7 day you rest. 6 years go by, 7 year the land rest. Well, we can do that, no problem. So, he says, keep the Sabbath day. 6 years go by, let the land rest. Guess how long they broke the Sabbath, Mike? You say 2 years. Higher. You say, well, 6 years.
Seven.
Higher. Eight?
Seven.
Higher than that. They broke the Sabbath 70 years. You remember I told you about the wrath of God? Do you think he was upset after the second year? You think he was upset after the second year?
Sure.
How about the 6th year?
God's long suffering.
You think he was upset after the 6th year? How about the 10th year?
Oh yeah.
How about the 30th year?
It's building.
So by the time it gets 70, are you gonna ask him, what are you doing? Are you going to ask God, why are you doing this? If anything, you can say, what took you so long? And he says, tell you what, for every year you didn't keep it, that's how many you going into punishment. Year for year. You broke it 70 years, guess what? 70 years you'll be in captivity. He's fair, right? He could have doubled it with interest. But the wrath of God was revealed to them. So he reveals, he sent the prophets to them with the gospel.
He gave them a better
telling them. He gave them all. He gave, look, he says, it's coming. Change your mind. It's coming. They kept going. They kept going. So in Romans 1, Paul said, in the gospel, the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. He said, it's coming. How many people ask today, like, why don't he do something? Relax. It's coming. He said, just don't you be a recipient of it. And I'll tell you how to get out. Next week. So we have to stop there. That clock is broken. And we're like 10 minutes past time. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spent in it. We pray that it was profitable and edifying for us and glorifying to your Son. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.